You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It feels like, I don't know what day of the week it feels like, but doesn't feel like Monday. So we just got done with practice. It was a normal Tuesday for us and went well. And so probably got about as many guys as we've had all year practicing, I think, out there today. So I think it might be the most guys we've had on the practice field ever since I've been here. So that was good. Doesn't mean everyone's ready to play, but good feeling seeing those guys, good energy, good excitement. So was a great week, I think, mentally and physically to refresh, probably for the coaches just as much as the players, but good energy and, you know, off to a great week. So, questions?
How's Eddie doing?
Good. Eddie was out there in pads today. And I think, you know, you hear that and you're like, oh, he's going to be ready to go. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, he's got to still work through, you know, this is the first time he's really moved around there in football movements. And so I would put him as a week to week. You know, there's got to be a confidence that's built up. There's also just the physical piece, you know, as far as him getting used to that. And, you know, these guys have been training all year long and at a high intensity level. And so, you know, he does that as well in the areas he could since the injury happened. But it was good to see him out there, that's for sure.
In the sub-scouting part of the bye weeks, what did you learn that you hadn't noticed going through week to week that you can take moving forward the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think our staff does a really good job. Actually, I mean, we're self-scouting every week. You know, what, there's different pieces of our staff that do that, our quality control coaches and analysts. And so I don't think each week there's much that we don't know about ourselves. I think you break it down maybe a few more ways, you know, maybe it's the last couple games or, you know, however you haven't looked at it in the past, just to make sure you're on it. But I think we have a pretty good indication of who we are and how people perceive us. I think there were some things in the middle of the year, especially as people were looking at us and how to attack our offense, you know, that were different than probably what we would have thought people would have done. So, you know, you just make those adjustments and you learn along the way. But I think a lot of times it's about the people you're playing and what they do best and how they want to match up to you with what they have as well.
How did Meech Powell come out of the game and go through the week and stuff after playing for the first time in a while?
Yeah, no, he's doing well. He's out there. Really, I guess I have no concerns. You know, I think that first week, last week afterwards, you know, just the recovery was different than, you know, than normal. But he's out there practicing and just is important to have him from a leadership and just consistency. You know, he's a good communicator. He's intelligent and, you know, knows our defense from all the reps he banked in the spring and in the fall during camp. And so, you know, just more of those pieces that you can put in place, a guy like Meech and, of course, Asa has been back now for a couple of weeks. Those guys working together just give you a lot of stability.
Getting back to Eddie, is he 100% with no restrictions, pitch count limited?
Yeah, he's out there in pads. And so he did very little, you know, so you start with like the 7-on-7 where there's less contact and you're working through that. And so there's definitely, yeah, he couldn't go out there and just do every rep right now. That's not the case. So I think it's, again, week to week. There may, just as it goes along, a couple ways we can use him. You know, try to get him out there for a few snaps. But I would hope that for sure the next week is when against Oregon is when we'd for sure see him.
Does he look like an elite player to you when you see him finally pass?
Yeah, you can tell just the body type and everything that once he gets you know, again, you forget, you don't realize that he's been hasn't really trained, you know, like the rest of the team has. But you can tell that, you know, the way he moves and just his body type and his size. And there's a confidence I think certain guys move with that he certainly has. And so having him out there, I think, is great for his psyche, but also our team's, you know, and taking a couple reps out there. But I'm sure it'll take a little while to knock the rust off too.
What your offense and what you guys do, does anything shift, or how much do you consider the weather getting worse here? We're obviously we're entering, mm-hmm. you know, inevitability for Seattle where it's going to be wet frequently. Does that come into consideration, or how much do you plan for that?
Yeah, I think it does. You certainly have to have different plans and different ways to attack, and we have all those things built in our offense. It's just a matter of which direction you focus on it a little bit more and you add to what you already do. But I mean, really, it's the same offense that we've run for 20 years. You know, it's just that right now, because we have such a great skill set and have had so much success in the passing game, you call a few more of those. But we can get high percentage passes and find ways to get the ball to our best skill players and, you know, in different ways. And so, you know, we'll certainly always be ready for that here in the next, 4 weeks as we go through November.
What was the real focus through the bye? Not just from the team perspective, but maybe one offense and one defense as well?
I think a lot of it is just mentally refreshing. You know, we took some reps, ones versus ones, twos versus twos, and so forth, just to stay sharp, play fast. You're trying not to put too much stuff in. The coaches are on the road, you know, a lot. And so, you know, we weren't really game planning early part of the week. We did that at the end after we got back, and then actually coaches went on the road again for Friday's games. But I think it's just a matter of playing fast, and especially with the guys that are coming back, building them back into the group and getting them the reps, just even in our base stuff, you know. You're trying to clean some things up that you know you need to have in your packages, both sides of the ball. And so we're trying to clean those things up just a little bit to make sure that, you know, we're ready to go for those looks and those things that maybe people have attacked us on in the weeks past that we'll continue to do.
How much does that evolve your bye week through the years? You know, how to handle your bye week?
How has it evolved?
Yeah.
I think there used to probably be more, you know, we're playing enough younger guys. And I think also with the redshirting rules, you know, there's some guys that are working into different rotations and have played in some games. I remember we used to do the freshman Super Bowl, you know, and every week you used to have this scrimmage on Sunday, and then, you know, bye week or towards the end of the year, depending on when the bye week was, you'd have this massive scrimmage and it was fun. And we find different ways to kind of have that type of fun, you know, and energy. And I think there's less of that for us anyway, just because we have some freshmen that are already involved in playing on Saturdays and have been mixed in with the plan. And we need to keep them healthy too. And so getting crazy and having a full-out scrimmage with just your young guys wasn't something that we did this week.
You previously mentioned that during the bye week, it'd be an opportunity for some younger guys to get increased reps during practice. Can you talk about that a little bit? Maybe some guys who jumped out and maybe surprised or really increased?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I mean, you know, some of the guys are just coming back, but I think a guy like Javon Parker, these reps are big, you know, just getting some chances against our offense. You know, you're seeing the running backs, I think, continuing to, you know, all get their reps. They're coming back from injury, and a lot of them are playing, you know. So, you know, Tristan hasn't played the last couple weeks just with being dinged up, so it was hard to get him out there. And, you know, he's working back in slowly here too. So, is there anyone else in particular you're wondering about? Or
quarterbacks?
quarterbacks. Yeah, and we're working all those guys in, you know, Coach Grubb's done a really good job, I think, of trying to get Sam in particular. You know, I think you look at Sam and Dylan, how can you get them more reps? And they certainly got that. We did a 2-minute drill, you know, last week, and, you know, those guys each got their chances in different move the ball sessions or 2-minute. And, you know, that's really helpful and great learning experiences for them. So, yeah, exactly. Those would be two guys that I think benefit from a bye week.
DeMario King, did he get back into action?
He is not in action yet, but he is back practicing now for the first time here this last week. So, yep.
Chance like Eddie to play somehow, somewhere?
For DeMario?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't anticipate him. I mean, week to week, and I wouldn't expect DeMario this week at all.
So like some redshirt code?
Yeah, probably. Probably going to be end up, yeah, with just how many games are left. Yeah, doing the math there, yep.
What does Oregon State do that's kind of unique?
I think that one thing that's been impressive with Oregon State is how they've really found their identity, I think, as a team. I think offensively, defensively, you split it up. But as a team over the last couple of weeks, they've you know, really won the turnover margin, or, you know, I think it was maybe 0-0 in one of those games a few weeks back. But, you know, when you look at the games they lost, they were turning it over. You know, 4 interceptions in 2 games back-to-back. And I think controlling the ball, and it starts with them, I think, being physical and being able to run the football. Which allows them to, you know, be able to work in their play action pass and nakeds, and Gulbranson's done a good job of, you know, taking care of it. And, you know, he's managing the game well. And so their identity, I think, you know, offensively has really helped them and complemented what they do defensively already, which is play physical and, you know, try to find those opportune times to get takeaways. So, overall, they're just a solid team, and so their identity, I think, is the biggest thing.
You've got QB commits in 2023 and 2024. I know you can't mention those guys' names, but I'm curious, with the current recruiting landscape where 5-star quarterbacks are getting 6- or 7-figure deals or whatever it may be, does the NIL era change the way you approach recruiting quarterbacks specifically when there are those factors that come into play as well?
I think we're still going to go after the top quarterbacks. I feel like we've done that, you know, the ones that we feel really good about that can come in here and be great. I can be more fired up about the quarterbacks we got coming into our program here in the years to come. So, they'll get their opportunities with NIL, for sure. You know, I'm already seeing that. And, you know, I think it, you know, with our current roster, you know, and so, I think it's only going to become bigger and bigger. We're, I think, becoming more, you know, in the NIL game each and every week, each and every month. It's cool seeing our guys. I know even this last week get opportunities, you know, on a bye week, you know, that, you know, continue to grow what the NIL opportunity is for our team. So I think the quarterback piece is going to be huge for us, because that's going to be someone who's got a big name and doing a lot of things in our program, as you can see with Mike this year.
Defensive secondary has been beat up all year. You know, and I know you got some guys back last week, but then this 5-week, how healthy are you back there? And how big of a difference does that make having guys back to be able to practice? And are you 100% back there yet?
Yeah, I think we're going to be starting the team of guys, the 4 defensive backs that we intentionally thought would be the guys in week one, and they were in week one, but soon after that it kind of started falling apart. So you know, Meesh and Jordan at corner, and AC and Asa, you know, at safety, with some guys rotating in. You know, Dom was out, so expect Dom back, and you know, that allows Cam Fab to kind of move around between safety and nickel, so, or the Husky position for us. So we're getting back, and those reps, I think you can just see the wear and tear is already less in a week of practice, even through the bye week, having all those guys rotate in some more healthy bodies.
Is it more just the struggles you've had back there, has that been because of the lack of bodies and the lack of continuity, or is it just some things that needed to be cleaned up scheme-wise, schematically, and fundamentally?
Yeah, I think it starts with the bodies and the continuity. I mean, you're trying to And there's some guys that were being thrown in there that, you know, really weren't expected early in camp to be guys who needed to start for sure. And so, you know, you don't even, you're adjusting your schemes based on the skill set, you know, to try to fit just what you could do best, you know. And unfortunately, sometimes that isn't even what you want to do in attacking opposing offense. Just, you know, it's maybe just playing base defense, you know, just playing base. And at some point, good offenses, like we've seen over the course of this year, they figure you out, you know, they figure out, you know, which guys can do things and how you're trying to play it. You know, we have a little more flexibility with that now, I think, with these guys that can do more things well.
What makes Martinez a threat for Oregon State?
Just solid all around. I don't know. I don't want to get into too much, on him. I think we've been focusing more on us for the most part. But, I mean, he's just been solid all around, you know. So.
Did you happen to see the Fresno State game center?
Yeah, I saw parts of it. I didn't see all of it. I saw the end. I saw the ending. So, yeah, I did see it. Pretty happy for those guys. A lot of good guys, obviously. Guys that I'm always going to be rooting for. You know, the fan base and the coaching staff, a lot of good friends there.
How do you feel the running back room is coming along? So, obviously, you know, Wayne's been the guy, and you had the drops of Cal. CD's kind of been emerging. Where are you seeing the guys coming behind him, like Sam, anybody else coming in behind CD?
Behind who?
Cam Davis, kind of pushing for that second.
And Wayne?
Yeah,
I think a lot of it's been who's healthy. Rich, you know, obviously had a big play and had some moments in the Cal game. And Sam as well. You know, Sam brings some things. So it's been, you know, even more competitive now. It was kind of headed that way. And then after the ASU game, you know, we lost some guys there. And so getting back to where we were kind of going into that week. And so it's super competitive and guys are, you know, really trying to make sure they understand the game plan so there's not those mental mistakes in practice where they know they're gaining the trust of our coaching staff.
Kelly, we didn't see Wayne in the second half of the Cal game. I assume that was because of the just drops or just maybe you need a timeout or whatever. Just, go back to the starting order for this game on Friday.
It just seemed to be more CD's night than Wayne. And, you know, he got the hot hand. And those two guys, I think, you know, whoever starts, it's more about like just how are we going to play those two and start with those two guys together, you know, at the running back spot. Wayne, I think, usually gets us off to just a good, solid start. You know, he's consistent and it just wasn't his night early on against Cal. But it doesn't mean that we don't got a lot of confidence in him and that all the banked, you know, just not experience, but production that he's had, you know, it means something. And CD, doing a great job. He's, you know, probably our most explosive guy, you know, and doing things in the red zone. You know, he's got more opportunities, but he's certainly finding his way to get in there. And he keeps growing his game too. You know, I loved how, you know, everyone's talked about how our running backs need to be versatile. I think all these guys are seeing that if they can be versatile, you know, Richard catching the ball and finding a way in the passing game to get in the end zone. I think that's what our guys see, and they know that they can do more things than just get the ball handed off to them.
Is that the situation with like people like Dumas and Sunday? Do they need to learn how to be receivers, things like that? How do they get into the mix eventually?
Yeah, and there comes a point where there's just so many guys that it's hard to, right? You know, if you're beyond number three or four, it's hard to get in there. So, and, you know, those guys, they're doing a great job. They're developing. Working through a little injury ding here and there, maybe along the way, but they're working hard and getting back to healthy. So, you know, there's so many guys that right now in that running back room that are doing a good job, and it's hard for guys further down to have many opportunities.
Dumas didn't have any receptions at all last year in New Mexico. Was that something that he's had to deal with?
I think of Aaron, I mean, you know, we saw him all spring and some in the fall, you know, and so Having him as far as being a receiver out of the backfield isn't something I'm really concerned with. He did a good job. So, and we felt that way based on, him out of high school. We knew who he was out of high school and knew he was a guy that could fit into our system.
Where does he, Mike Penix, improve the most from day one to going into this week? Where does he improve the most?
With Penix?
Yeah.
With Michael, with him just in particular, I would have to say that, he's just going to keep, growing as a leader. We're asking him to do a lot and, he's lived up to that. I mean, he's calm, cool, collected. I've said that all along, but he's certainly leading the team in a big way, not just the offense, but I think the whole offense and defensive sides of the ball certainly are responding to him and what he brings. And when he walks out of the tunnel each and every day onto the field, I think that, there's a lot of confidence in whatever he says. I think the whole team believes in.
What is he meant to just you as a first year coach to be able to have him here with you, to kind of rely on him to not have to start with a pure freshman or a redshirt freshman or somebody that doesn't know your system? How big of a help has Michael Penix been for you in year one?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly made life a lot easier. He knew the offense and what you're going to get with him. You're going to get a guy that just isn't going to all of a sudden do something that was told that's totally unexpected, with his character. And, I knew the production would be there as far as, his ability to put the ball where it needs to go. He's accurate. He gives you that deep threat. He's mobile enough to keep plays alive, keep sides downfield. He's just all of his intangibles were things that I knew would come to light. We just needed to keep him protected. He needed to stay healthy. I think those were the biggest questions that we were wondering about going into the year. And, he's done a great job preparing his body and been smart when he's on the football field. And that's allowed him to make the plays. And, a lot of it's just the confidence continues to grow. As confident as I think he was in himself, I think he's learned a lot about himself as well.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.